and when he made the buy, 1 Peter 5:8. So there is a devil. The Bible confirms that. Now listen to Jesus. Then he that being Jesus, the servant of him on the left hand, depart from me, you curses, into everlasting fire prepared for who? The devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. So there's a place for the devil, and there's a place that prepared for those that will not obey God. Now then, let's look at another question. If there is a resurrection, then there's a hell. Yeah, I know that. The Bible refers to life after death, physical death. Now, when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about, go to Matthew 22:32, when God said, he said, I am not God of the dead, of Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, but a God of the living. But they had passed on.
Now, I want to turn. And I want to read. I want to read you in Luke, and I'm only not all of it. I'm just going to read part of it. I'm going to start about verse 23, and look what it says. Now we know the story. Our little children know the story that's taught. We know the story of the rich man and Lazarus. We all know that story. But listen to what the Bible says. This is Jesus talking. And in hell, in where? In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being tormented, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out, said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. How many times in life have you ever touched your hand to a stove or something hot? The first thing you do is you hunt some kind of ointment, or you hunt a piece of ice or some water to lay your finger in to cool it. That's what to do. That's human nature. But listen. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all of this, between us and you there is a great gulf. Fix. So that which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can that pass to us that should come from hence. Was the rich man, did he know? Is it figurative? Is it symbolic? I tell you what it is. It's a fact. And he said, and besides all this, after so on, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send Lazarus, he's talking about, he'll send him back to my father's house, for I have five brothers that may testify unto them, unless they come into this place of torment. So he knew when he opened his eyes that he was in a place called hell. And he was asking that he might have just a little water, just to dip his tongue so he'd cool his tongue. And we talked about, and I was talking about the resurrection. Now, it said that, excuse me, that they both died. One went to one place and went to the other. Concerning the resurrection, Paul taught, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Now, is that, to me, and you can correct me, that when God comes back, there's going to be somebody here when Jesus comes back. Because he said we're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. But how long, or how do we know when that is. Can we wait till a few days before he comes? Or can we wait and prepare ourselves? We can't, because we don't know when he's coming. Listen. Jesus said about the resurrection, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice." That's Jesus talking. "And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life." There's your resurrection. "And they that have done unto the resurrection of damnation." Resurrection again. 5 John 5, 28-29. So there is both a resurrection and a hell. If there's a heaven, there's a hell. The Bible teaches plainly that there is an eternal dwelling place. God taught, "Let your light shine before men that they may see good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5 and 16. Jesus is said to go back to heaven. When Jesus ascended to earth and went back, he's sitting at the right hand of God. 1 Peter 3:22. Paul said that he was caught up in a third heaven. 2 Corinthians 12:2. And it said that the Old Testament people desire a better country that is heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. Revelation 21 calls it a city. I'm sorry, Revelation 21:15. Heaven will be a city. We know a lot about heaven. We read a lot about heaven. But we can't comprehend what heaven was going to be like in our human mind. But let me tell you something. In the place of eternal life is heaven. It's talking about heaven. The same Bible that teaches there's a punishment of heaven will teach you that there's punishment in hell. When is the verdict to be handed out? Day of judgment. And listen to what it says. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Matthew 25, 46. By the way, how long is heaven going to last? Eternity, right? Forever. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Hell's going to last just as long. Believe me. Hell will last just as long as heaven will. When we talk about heaven and hell and the things that it's in heaven and the things, you can say, like I said before, you can say, well, Revelation has said it's figurative. Well, it probably is. It's things I don't understand. But now there's a heaven is to win. And there's a hell to shun. And the Bible calls on me and on you to be ready. "For such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Matthew 24:44. Be prepared. Preparation is required. When many of the Corinthians have been believed and were baptized, Acts 18:8. Let's read Matthew 7:13 and 14. We always want to talk about the good things. We don't like to hear about bad things. But it's my duty if I stand behind this podium. It's these young men that's coming on behind me, behind Guy, to preach what the Bible has said. As I said at the start of the lesson, you'll find when you find Peter and Paul and the apostles teaching that Jesus, you will not find, to my knowledge, and if I'm wrong, you tell me, where they told little dear things to be funny, as he read in the scriptures. There's come a time when the ear will not listen to sound doctrine, but those things that we love to hear. You see it, I see it. I see those that call themselves preachers preaching, and they'll preach for so long, and actually when they get through, they ain't said nothing. It's like a stand-up comedy. But if you look at the crowd huge crowds just roaring with laughter. Did that man prick those people in the heart as he did on the first gospel sermon? No, I can tell you he didn't. But they went away happy because he told them something that was funny. Start at verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in there. What did I tell you? Broad is the way. Easy to find. Narrow is the way. Hard to find. But we can find it. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So, if we desire a place called heaven, then we're going to have to be prepared to meet, to be that day to meet it. Okay, and then we talk about, I talked about earlier about me in my age. Will you live to be 80? I don't know. Guy and myself did. Tommy's pretty close. Some of the others. But there's no definite answer to what time or how long you live. So in the time that you live, then that's the time that you have to prepare. When they close the lid of the casket and you're dead, your preparation, if you have not prepared, it's over. You're through. Your destiny has been sealed. And I want to tell you something that I, over the years, that I loved a little saying, and it was written in a song. And the name of the song was "The Old Crossroads." Some of you may have heard it. But I strictly took interest in the chorus of that song. It said, "There is a crossroads." And it asked the question, it says, which one are you going to take? One leads down to destruction, and the other to the pearly gate. We will have to make a choice on which of the roads that we'll take. We live and die by the choices we made, and if you know that where I'm going, I'm not going to George Jones. He had nothing to do with the sermon, but he's just something that was said. We live and die by the choices we make. But yet there's something good to come out of the whole thing. If you own that road of destruction, and in that road of its wide, there is some great news. Because God sent His only begotten Son to this earth. He went to the cross. He suffered and He died. He shed His blood so that we might have a chance. So if you're on that road, or if I'm on that road, we have an opportunity, even this morning, to change our direction. Well, you say, well, I don't know. There's a lot of people sitting here watching me this morning. I don't know where I want to come down that aisle or not. Let me tell you something. It ain't going to make no difference what I think or what the elders or deacons think about it. You're going to stand before God. And you're going to be the judge. You're going to be judged for what you did, whether it be good or bad. So if you're going to stand before God, how much worse it would be to stand before God and be destroyed because you wouldn't walk down the aisle of a building and say, hey, I've sinned. I have. You have. We've all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. But this morning, and I didn't run over Tommy, I cut it a little short. But this morning you have that opportunity. You have an opportunity to address whatever it is in your life. I don't know. I know what's in mind. But this day, today is the day of salvation. What if you leave here? What if I leave here this afternoon or today? And I don't ever come back. And I have to go stand before God and give an account for what I've done. For what I say, and for what those who stand behind this pulpit says. I think it's a responsibility that I have. I told this a long time ago when Debbie was just a little girl in class. I told them, I said, I've got 1, 2, 3 responsibilities. Every man that stands behind this totem has a responsibility. First, to you that's listening. Second, to me or to him that's preaching. Third, and the most important, is to God. You'll have a responsibility to teach what's in this Bible, not what's on your mind, or not what somebody done over yonder, or what he said, or how big this is, or how fine a suit he wore, but what God said in the little black book of King James Version that I hold right here, or whatever you use, may it be American Standard or whatever. So this morning, if you're in this crowd, think seriously what I said. I tried to take nothing out of its contents, but tried to tell it just like God wrote it or had it wrote in the book. But if you have a desire, and if you're on the wrong way, then this morning is a time that you can correct it. You can get back on.
Great day.